Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Mark sends me a steady flow of stuff from England, and it's fascinating because, you know, I always talk about fraud here in America, but fraud happens everywhere. It's apparently part of human nature. And this is scary, but the hunt is on for a fake vaccine fraudster who injected a woman who is 92 years old. And he told her he had access to the vaccine, that he was from the government. And then he did this and he got some money out of her. So, of course, that's the point of the scam. But it's a scary concept. From the BBC, and again, Mark sent it to me. A fraudster claiming to work for the National Health Service injected a 92-year-old woman with a fake COVID-19 vaccine, according to police from the City of London. Detectives are hunting the man who charged the victim £160 for the fake vaccine. Police said it was crucial he was caught as soon as possible as he may endanger people's lives. And as you can imagine, somebody just injecting somebody with something is not a good scenario. A detective inspector, Kevin Ives, described it as disgusting and totally unacceptable assault. It comes after the National Health Service warned people that no one should be turning up at doorsteps offering a vaccine for payment following a whole spate of fake text messages. So if you get a text message and they go, "Hi, we're here from the government, and if you want one of these vaccines, we can show up at your place and give it to you there. It's going to cost you some money." Obviously, that's a scam. But the problem is that in this large world of ours, there are going to be people out there who don't know any better. So again, we know who these people are in our lives. Keep them in mind. Under the current coronavirus vaccine rollout plans, people will be invited to receive the vaccine by their GP or healthcare provider. So it's going to come from people you already know. That's the important part. Police said the victim allowed the man into her home on the afternoon of December 30th after he said he was from the National Health Service and he was there to administer the COVID-19 vaccine. She said that she was, in fact, given an injection in the arm with a dart-like implement, before being charged £160, while the man said that money would be refunded by the National Health Service. So that's part of the scam also. He goes, "Look, give me the money, you'll get it back." Police said it was not known what the substance was, if any, that was actually administered, but the woman had been checked at her local hospital and has suffered no ill effects as far as anybody can tell. Detective inspector, again, appealed for information to help identify the suspect. He added, "It is crucial we catch him as soon as possible, as not only is he defrauding individuals of money, but he may endanger people's lives." The man made a second visit to the woman's home on January 4th when he asked for more money. He said he needed another £100 that was somehow owed on the account. Officers released closed-circuit TV footage on Friday of a man who they want to speak in connect with connection to the incident. He's wearing a navy blue tracksuit with white stripes down the side, which is not how you'd expect somebody from the National Health Service to be dressed, I wouldn't think. He's described as a white man in his early 30s, about 5'9", of medium build with light brown hair that is combed back, and he has a London accent. By the way, he's also listed as being 1.75 meters tall, and that's one of those things. I understand how the metric system works. I understand that. And in America, we describe height and length often in foot and inch measurements, increments. And so if someone's 5'9" or 5'10", I can picture that quite specifically. But when somebody is 1.75 meters tall, 1.8 meters tall, it all goes out the window. And I know the conversions can be done. And maybe it's possible that if you live in a regime that uses metric, that you eventually figure this stuff out. But I talk to my good friend Chris Goodsell in Australia quite often. I do a thing on his radio show once a month. And we'll be discussing the weather. And, you know, because he's in the other hemisphere, we often discuss the weather. And so he'll say, "Oh, it's winter up there." And I'll say, "Yeah, it snowed. It's right around freezing." And he'll go, "Oh, it's summer down here." And he'll throw a number at me in Celsius. And I'm like, "Is that warm? Is that not warm? Is it above boiling? What is that?" And then he'll often throw in the conversion for me, which is helpful. But it's one of those things. A spokesperson for the Department of Health said NHS England will never ask for bank details, PIN numbers, or passwords when contacting you about a vaccination. Any communication which claims to be from the NHS but asks for payment or bank details is fraudulent and can be ignored. It can be reported to police via action fraud. And of course, they wanted to reiterate once again, you will never be charged for the vaccine. You will never be charged for the vaccine. So, you know, here in America, Michigan, where I am, of course, it is now the beginning of a new year. And they're now rolling out the vaccine in many states, including Michigan. And I know people who have gotten on the list to get vaccinated. I don't think I know anybody personally who's been vaccinated yet. And I also know that, unfortunately for me, I'm so far down the list that I might get a vaccine sometime in 2025. I don't know. That's I understand they're prioritizing these things. And so frontline workers are going to get it. And the people who are you know, susceptible and fragile are going to get it. And so on. And then, you know, you work your way down the line. And obviously, I'm not a frontline worker. Okay. I don't work in a nursing home. I don't work in a hospital. And I don't have any health conditions that make it to where I get to jump ahead of anybody. Trust me, I'm so far back in the line in this one that I'm not really anticipating anytime soon that I'll be getting the vaccine. But I'll just continue living like a hermit for as long as I can. But the other thing this story reminds me of is that I've known people, and I love to talk to people about the old days, right? You meet somebody who can tell you what life was like in the 30s or the 40s. And I know some people in my audience are saying, but Steve, that's not, no. You understand that that is a while back, right? If you're telling me about the 30s, we're talking about pre-World War II, and life was quite different back then. And I also like speaking to people who live out in the rural areas and have lived out there for a long period of time and have lived out there since that time. And the cohort I'm talking about here primarily is the older folks who live in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan in the Copper Country. I met and spoke to a lot of them while doing research on two of my books, one about the Italian Hall disaster and one about Douglas Houghton. So I'd meet somebody who could tell me about life back then, way back then. And for instance, when I was writing my book about the Italian Hall disaster, that happened in 1913. I actually met a woman and talked to her who was at the Italian Hall in 1913. She's 100 years old when I met her. And so that's the kind of thing that you realize that as a historian, these people have got history in their memories. They know this stuff. And sadly, when they pass, we lose a piece of history. And so I remember speaking to people about things that were just going on up there. And someone told me a story about back during the Depression, maybe a few years later, where somebody from the government came by and said, we are inspecting cattle because there's some disease going around. And we need to inspect the cattle because if any of your cattle have got it, we've got to separate them quickly from the other cattle so it doesn't spread, because it could wipe out your entire herd. It could wipe out your entire farm. It could wipe out every single herd in the area. And there are people up there with cattle. So a guy comes out there and he looks semi-official and he's walking around, he's checking cows, and he finds, uh-oh, this cow here has got it. This cow here has got it. We got to take it. They take the cow, put it on a truck, drive off with it. It wasn't somebody from the government. It's a cow thief. But again, if you are of the generation that tends to trust people who claim they're from the government, and you think, well, somebody from the government's not going to lie to me. A cow thief will lie to you. Cattle thief will lie to you. You know, and I'm not sure exactly what year that was, but I remember them saying roughly, you know, Depression era-ish. And it was one of those things where the guy would drive around and he'd roll up on somebody's property and gauge pretty quickly whether he thought he could pull that off. And if he could pull it off, he'd get a free cow out of it. But that's one of those things that a lot of these frauds and scams work on human nature and how we tend, I think, naturally to trust each other. We tend to trust each other. Now, you can say all you want about how you're going to be skeptical of everybody. You're going to be skeptical of strangers. You don't trust anybody. Once in a while, somebody rolls up and they catch you off guard and they appear to be friendly, they appear to be authoritative, they appear to be nice. And here's a 92-year-old woman in England, and a guy contacts her, says, I'm from the NHS, I can give you the vaccine. Shows up, he goes, it's gonna be a small charge, but you get the money back, blah, 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 blah. And of course, who would rip off a 92-year-old woman and actually inject her arm with something just to get 160 pounds out of her? Well, this guy would. But if you looked at it from her viewpoint, I'm assure you that there's a very good chance that if you asked her, she'd go, I wouldn't think somebody would do that for 160 pounds. Really? Somebody would do that? And sadly, yes, they would. They would. So it's a scary concept. I've not heard of anything quite like that here, but it's out there. Maybe somebody will copy that here. I don't know. But in the meantime, I've issued this warning repeatedly on this channel, and that is that everybody has people in their lives who are not as familiar with the scams that are going around, or how the internet works, or how text messages work, or how you can spoof phone numbers, and you have to explain to them. If somebody contacts you and the message seems out of the ordinary, call me, we'll discuss it. Call me, we'll discuss it. And you've got to make that offer to people. And you know, if enough of us do these kinds of things, it won't make this go away, but it'll certainly tamp it down a bit. So, Mark, thanks for sending it to me. I love these kinds of stories. Got to get the word out. The BBC published it. Hunt for fake vaccine fraudster who injected a woman, 92 years old, in England, just to rip her off. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Good is better than bad, 'cause it's nicer.